Well, again, this morning I just asked you a very simple question, and we're going to talk just for a few moments before we come to the communion table. Why was Jesus baptized? I don't know if you've ever thought about this before. Because when we are baptized, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, when we are baptized, we're declaring and demonstrating our commitment to Him, our gratitude for Jesus forgiving us of our sins. That's one of the reasons we're baptized. We're baptized because we are identifying with Him for what that He did for us, from His death and His burial and His resurrection. And we're saying, I'm not ashamed. Because I'm doing this very publicly. We're going to invite as many of you that want to come up. We're going to go to the pool upstairs here at the conclusion of the service. As many of you as want to come and to witness that, we invite you to come. It's public. But see, none of those things applied to Jesus, did they? Jesus was not confessing his sins. Jesus was sinless. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus did not need to be forgiven for his sins. He was perfect. He didn't need to be transformed in any way. The Bible tells us again, Paul writes this, he says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image. That's the life of a Christian. We are constantly in a place of moving, of growing, of learning what it means to glorify Him. And Jesus certainly was never ashamed of who He was or what He had been called to do. So why was Jesus baptized? Well, first we probably ought to look at what happened when He was baptized. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, the third chapter, very quickly. Matthew 3, 13 is where we're going to start. You there? I didn't give you much time this time. See, everybody always thinks, man, you know, those college guys and some of these other people, they're playing games on their phone. No, they're not. They got their Bible on their phone. See, I know, all right. You're okay. Pops, we don't know anything about that. It's a book or it's nothing. Right, exactly. Matthew 3:13. Here's what it says. It says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. Verse 16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him am I well pleased. So to answer that question of why Jesus was baptized, we first have to look at another person. We have to look at John the Baptist first. Now, if you didn't know this, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the mother of John, were related to each other. As a matter of fact, you read this in Luke 1:36. It says that they went to visit, Mary went to visit her relative. Now, the word relative in the original language means kinsman. Or it can also mean cousin. So now watch, follow. If Mary and Elizabeth are related, that means Jesus and John the Baptist were also related. They were cousins of each other. There's a good chance they grew up together. Fighting, wrestling. Can you imagine fighting with Jesus? That's probably not a smart thing to do. Jesus never lost an argument to his cousin John. John was 6 months older than Jesus. Again, if you read in Luke, it gives us the account of that Elizabeth was 6 months along with her son when Mary came and visited, 6 months older. So that means that they, when they grew up, they did go in different directions because John had one job and one job only in his life, and that was to proclaim the coming of Jesus Christ. I think of you guys getting ready to go out, you know, and you meet with your counselors and you meet with those that kind of help you decide what you're going to do, where you want to be. John never had to do that. John knew from the moment that I believe that he was able to understand, his only job was to talk about the coming of Jesus. As a matter of fact, he had so little of a choice. Watch this. 700 years prior to his birth, the prophet Isaiah said that John would come. said that there would be one crying out in the wilderness proclaiming the one that was to come. 700 years before John was even born. Even John knew that. John said of himself, "The reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." And so on that particular day that John is baptizing people in the water, in the Jordan River, imagine what he began to think when he looks up and he sees Jesus coming towards him. He's thinking, it's him. This is the guy. What's he going to say? What's he going to do? This is the one that John had been saying. You read this in Mark 1:7-8. John says, "After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." John was saying, listen, the one that's coming after me, I'm not even worthy to do the lowest of the low for him. When you walked into a house in that time, the servant children usually were the ones that would come out and they'd take off your sandals and they would wash your feet for you. Whoever was the lowest of the low, John said, I can't even do that for Jesus. But instead of all of the things John had been saying, what happens? Jesus comes up to John and says, John, I need you to baptize me. Now, I can't imagine what John's face must have been when Jesus said this to him. He probably froze and just sort of looked at him dumbfounded. You know, I thought about, you know, this is what it would be like. It'd be like you bragged to your friends for years about your rich uncle. Stay with me now on this. You're bragging to your friends for years about your rich uncle. Man, you ought to see the house my uncle lives in. You ought to check out the cars he drives, the clothes he wears. He's always giving me gifts. The guy has just got more money than he knows what to do with. You're saying this for years. And then the day comes that your uncle actually comes to you and you get to introduce him to all your buds. And your uncle walks up to you and says, can I borrow 20 bucks? I got to put some gas in the car. That's what I think John was feeling like. Here's the guy. It's Jesus. And Jesus says, John, I need you to baptize me. Well, we read, John said, Jesus, I don't think this is what I should do. And yet, Jesus said, no, he said, this is what needs to take place. It's right in order for this to happen. So why did it need to happen? Let me give you three reasons real quick. The first one is this. Just as we identify with Jesus when we are baptized, so too when he was baptized, he identified with all of us. You see, you got to understand something. When Jesus got into the water there, he was with a bunch of other sinners. And the people that might have been watching on the side someplace or didn't hear maybe who this was, they would have looked at him and thought, well, there's another guy that obviously needs to have his sins forgiven. Jesus wasn't anybody special according to them. He blended himself in to just become like everybody else. But actually, when Jesus came to be baptized, he was actually paying the price for each and every one of those that were there. And paying the price for us. He was saying, I'm going to take care of this. If you ever go to a restaurant and you're sitting in a group and one person takes the check, Logan, I know you've never done that. He takes the check. What does that mean when someone takes the check? What are they saying? They're saying, I've got this. I've got the bill. I'm taking care of everybody. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did. When Jesus entered the water to be baptized, he was saying for each and every single person, I've got the bill. But you know, Jesus did more than that when he stepped into the water. Because not only was he saying, I'm going to forgive you of your sins, but he was saying that in just a few years' time, I'm going to have to pay this in full. It was 3 years from the time Jesus was baptized until he hung on the cross for each and every one of us that he gave his life for every single person here. And you know, it wasn't just an identification with us because Jesus did so much more than that. When Jesus hung on the cross, he took every single sin of our lives. He endured the agony of the physical beating, the torture that took place. But you know what he did more than all of that? He was separated from his Father because of us. And he did that willingly. Willingly for every single one of us. And you know, Jesus knew this when he approached him. When Jesus got to the Jordan, he knew what he was doing. He was very purposeful. We read in the 13th verse that Jesus traveled from Galilee down to the Jordan River. That's a distance of about 60 miles. So it wasn't as if Jesus was out strolling one day after lunch and going, "Hey, I think that's John. Yeah, we played stickball together for all those years back there. I think he's down here baptizing." No, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Jesus very purposefully went to that place in order that he could be baptized. So the first thing that Jesus did was that he identified. Here's the second thing he did. He exemplified. Jesus identified and he exemplified. To exemplify means to demonstrate or to be an example. So again, Jesus comes to John and says, "John, I need you to baptize me." And John said, "Jesus, you should be baptizing me, not the other way around." And then Jesus said something a little bit strange. In the verse 15, he says, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." What does that word mean, righteousness? Well, in that time, in Jesus' day, the word righteousness was used as a synonym for a new life. That's what that word means. When you have a new life, you're living in righteousness. And all that simply means is that you are giving your life over to the Father in order to walk in obedience to him. That's what righteousness means. To live in righteousness means that I do what it is that the Word of God tells me to do. When I live in righteousness, it's not just about me. It's about what is it that God desires for my life. And by getting into the water, Jesus was saying, "Watch the example of what it is that I'm about to do." It's why one of those ordinances that we practice here at Remnant Life Church is baptism, because Jesus demonstrated that to us. He said, "This is a mark of what it means to be obedient to the Father." First thing he did was he identified. The second thing he did is he exemplified. He was an example. Here's the third one, and that's that Jesus' baptism was an edification. He was edified by the Father. He was edified. To edify means to build up. We say, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor Dave, why does Jesus need to be built up?" Well, read what it says, 16th and 17th verses. He says, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven came," watch, "This is my Son. I love him, and in him I am well pleased." What Jesus was having done at that time was he was being set apart. Now, for those of you that have been and grown up in church, you may have heard the word ordained. Your pastor is normally ordained. And all that simply means is that the pastor has been set aside and commissioned for a particular work. That's all. A pastor is not better than you. A pastor is not more spiritual than you. Hopefully he or she has studied a little bit so that they know the word. But the word ordained means to set apart. That's what Jesus had happen when he was baptized. God came, and in the person of the dove, in the presence of his voice, Jesus was set apart. Now, those of you that understand the term the Trinity, what it means is that God is three persons in one. Now, you recognize, and maybe you do or don't know, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. The concept of the Trinity is there, and it's here that you see the only physical representation of the Trinity, the voice of the Father, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and the man Jesus Christ. See, God was coming and he was saying, "Folks, this is somebody important. I've got work for him to do." Jesus' baptism was the commissioning of him to begin his life of service for his Father. And my question for you this morning is, what event has ordained you in order to serve God? You say, "Pastor Dave, I was never baptized," or "I was baptized a long time ago." That's okay. You say, "Pastor Dave, since I've never been baptized, I mean, can I still serve God?" Listen, as soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are commissioned. You're ready to go. Because everything about you has been changed. Everything that you used to be is no longer that way. Every thought of my mind, Every emotion that I have is turned over to God. You say, Pastor Dave, I sure don't live like that all the time. Oh, I understand. That's why we continually are always desiring to know more of Him. Desiring to serve Him in a more complete way. Desiring to use the words that I say, the emotions that I have to glorify Him. We talk a lot here at Remnant Life about how we treat other people. Because truly, that is, I believe, one of the fundamental marks of who a Christian is. You can quote me as many Bible verses as you want. You can say, Pastor Dave, I haven't missed a Sunday at church since I was 3 weeks old. Say, Pastor Dave, I put money in the box all the time. I take communion, all of those things. And I'm going to say to you, that's great. How do you treat the people around you? What are the words that you speak? How quickly do you anger? Do you live in jealousy? Are there things of your life where you bring deception and where you bring dishonor to the people around you? Those are the marks. And as a matter of fact, John also dealt with that when he baptized Jesus. Because if you read a little bit before where we read this morning, the Bible tells us that the Pharisees and the Sadducees also came to John at the same time. There was only two reasons that they would have come. One would have been to see what it was that was going on, but I can bet you there were some of them that thought, maybe I ought to get baptized too. You know, it couldn't hurt. There are people that get baptized for that reason. You know, this can't hurt. Might as well. Make sure I'm covered. And yet John could see through that. Because if you read what he said to them, he said, you brood of vipers. He said, who told you to come and to do this? What was he saying to them? It's the condition of your heart that matters the most. Church, we have to make sure that we're careful to understand that baptism is not the forgiveness of sins. There's only one thing that forgives you of your sins, and that's to confess them to Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you, to ask Him to come into your life. Baptism is an outward expression of what it is that takes place in your heart. And it's why it's such an important part of what I believe that we have been called here to be as a church, to celebrate that with each other. Why was Jesus baptized? Because He wanted people to see what it meant to be obedient to the Father, to know what it was to live your life every single day for Him. In her famous book and film, The Hiding Place, and with this I'll close, Corrie Ten Boom, any of you might know that name, tells the story of a Dutch Christian family, her family, who had a heart for the Jewish people. Her grandfather, Wilhelm, had started a weekly prayer group in 1844 in the city of Haarlem near Amsterdam for the salvation of the Jews. And this prayer time continued for over 100 years, passed down through the family, until 1944, when the entire Ten Boom family was sent to a concentration camp for helping the Jews to escape the persecution that was taking place in Holland. Well, Corrie tells the curious story of her father, a man by the name of Kaspar. Because when the Nazis forced the Jews to begin to wear that large Star of David, Kaspar, who was not Jewish, lined up to receive one as well. And he wore it because he wanted to identify himself with the people for whom he and his family had been praying all those years. He was prepared to be so completely identified with them that he was willing to wear this sign of shame to deal with the persecution and ultimately to give his life for the people that he loved. He didn't have to wear it. He chose to. And in that story, church, I believe that we perhaps see the clearest reason why Jesus came to be baptized. He didn't have to get baptized as a sign of repentance or turning from his sin. Jesus was perfect. He didn't have to be baptized as a sign that he was now leaving his past behind in order to more completely follow God. Everything of Jesus was in tune with his Father. He was completely committed. But like Kaspar Ten Boom, much, much later, Jesus was baptized to identify with a fallen, a lost, and a broken people, a people that he loved. And church, I believe that it's with that mind to understand why Jesus did what he did that it sets our hearts this morning to come to the communion table. I'm going to ask the team to come back up because they're going to sing as we take the communion elements this morning. But what I want you to understand about communion is very simply this. This is not about Remnant Life Church. You don't need to be a member of Remnant Life. You don't have to attend here regularly. As I said, for many of you, this is probably your very first time here. That's okay. When you receive communion, there are only two things that the Bible says that must be in compliance to receive the communion. The first one is this: you need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you do not, let me ask you, please don't take the elements. Just simply pass them by. And so, Pastor Dave, why would we have to do that? Because the Bible tells us if you eat and drink the bread and the drink unworthily, in other words, you don't know Jesus, you're taking damnation into your spirit. Church, I don't want you to do that. I want to guard you. I want to protect you. So if you have never asked Jesus Christ to be a part of your life, I just simply pass it by. But here's the second thing, Christian. The Bible tells us if you have something in your spirit against someone, you need to release them. You need to offer forgiveness. You say, Pastor Dave, that person's not here right now. That's okay. You do that with the Father, and then after church, you go find him. You contact him if you can. But right now, the Bible says if you have anything against someone, you shouldn't take the elements. So I want to encourage you this morning. Let me ask my servers if they would to take their places. And we're going to pass the elements out. Karen, go right through here. And the way we do this at Remnant Life is we're going to pass these out. I'm going to ask that you hold the element until we've all received it. And then we're going to pray. And we're going to take it together as a family. But while we're doing this, while the guys are singing and the ladies are singing, I'm going to ask that you just take a few minutes with the Father. And if there's anything that you need to take care of, if there's business that you need to do with God, again, maybe there's something of your own life. Say, God, I need to get on top of this. I need you, God, right now to come and to minister to me, to take something from me. I offer this to you. I lay it down at the cross. Now's the time. If there's something in your spirit that you have against someone else, say, Father, please take this away from me. I release that. I release the anger. I release the bitterness. Whatever it is, lay it down at the cross this morning. Amen. So as guys, if you guys sing, we're going to pass the elements and hold them together.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted. Rescue again. Come find your mercy. Oh sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow, heaven can't hear. Earth has no sorrow, heaven can't hear. So lay down your burden. For the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow, heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame, and all who are come home.
See, that's the great thing about the love of our God. You just come as you are. Just, His love is sufficient. His grace and His mercy is more than enough to cover us. Just come as you are. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible tells us that when they were in the upper room together, that Jesus took the bread and He broke it and He blessed it and He gave it to His disciples and He said, "This is My body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Let's take the bread together. Father, we thank You for the power of what it is that's taking place right now in the Spirit. We thank You, Father, for the body that was broken for us. And we do this, Father, to honor and to glorify You.
Too far. So lay down your heart.
mercy. O sinner, come near. Earth has no sorrow, heaven gain. Earth has no sorrow, heaven gain. So lay down your
You know, I realize it took a few minutes to do that, to get everybody the elements, but that's okay. I think in the hustle and the bustle, and we're so anxious to get things done, to get from one place to another, in such a hurry with everything that we do, and I find myself in this so often, that we lump God into that too. Just get it done. Read quick, pray fast, in and out of church. Hey, we don't meet more than 15, 20 minutes at our group. Get people in and out. No, you know, sometimes it's just good to just sit with God for a little bit. And just let Him cleanse your mind and your heart. Just let Him bring a peace into your spirit. Well, the Bible tells us then that Jesus took the cup and He blessed it and He gave it to His disciples and He said, "This blood is the new covenant." A new covenant. It's different now. Because now Jesus Christ comes to live within each and every single one of us. And it was by His shed blood that we have been given that privilege of being His child, to know that we will spend eternity worshiping Him. Let's take the cup together. Amen. Father, thank You. Thank You again, God, for this time. And I pray now, God, that as we continue to worship, I pray, God, that You would just be in each and every one of us in every way. You going to do that chorus one more time, love? Go ahead. Lead us in the chorus one more time.
I invite you to stand and sing along with us if you want. If not, that's fine. Wherever you're at. But let's raise our voices to Him.
Father, again, we just want to thank You for today. And thank You, God, for what it is You're doing and what we're now going to do together to give You all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.